Well, beloved congregation and families and friends at home, it's good for us tonight to come together. Even though we're only having four of us here in the church tonight, hopefully we are together in spirit with you as you're listening at home in a time of confession, in a time of wrestling together before God as we consider also a portion of His Word. And the circumstances we face today are like the waves that tossed up and down the little boat that also the Lord and His disciples are in, threatening. And we do our best and we take our measures and we need to be cautious. And we do that also by honoring the restrictions on assembly. Some of you are finding it very difficult to receive that restriction. But let us abide together by the government's rules in that. In that regard, I appreciate also that we not have to send any of you away as you come here in the church nonetheless. But ultimately, our strongest defense is God Himself. And if He would enable us tonight to take our refuge to Him, then this will be a good hour. So before we open our service, a few announcements. Many of you have been asking me about how my niece is doing. She is doing well. She had the baby. And she's also, Lord willing, going home tomorrow, obviously in quarantine and still not better, but in reasonable shape. Also prayed for Henry France. He had a mild case of pneumonia and was in the ER for a few hours in the night. And is in total quarantine, so no one is allowed to visit him. So let's also remember him and his family. So let's now open our service of prayer with the usual confession and the blessing of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of His own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Our opening psalter this evening is 247, a psalm that has often inspired also God's children through the ages with hope and a sense of comfort. Our God, the help in ages past, our hope for years to come. So we'll sing Psalter 247, all six verses. no home. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, and thereof the 29th, Psalm 29, in which David speaks about the voice of the Lord. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh, and the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple does every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So far the reading of God's scriptures. And let's now seek together the Lord in prayer to ask him for his blessing as well as to move our hearts into repentance. O Almighty Ruler of the heavens and of the earth, thou hast spoken already this evening that thou art Jesus Christ, the Prince of the kings of the earth, the eternal and the omnipotent God, to whom we are to give glory. And Lord, will thou draw our hearts together in this evening, in these so unusual circumstances, strange circumstances, as we are so scattered in our homes and cannot dwell together in thy house of prayer and worship, as we so are desiring. And Lord, will thou please fill our hearts with reverence as we gather here, as we call upon thee to incline thine ear to us. Thou art calling our nation. We read here, Lord, from Psalm 29, that the voice of thee is speaking. Not only our nation, thou art speaking to all nations. Thou hast called us all to a solemn standstill. One after the other nation has to stop, Lord, all its normal activity. Never have this been witnessed on the entire history of the world, what we are witnessing today. Thou art toppling over all our idols of wealth, of work, of health, of all, Lord, our comforts that now are on shaky ground. Thou art showing us that we have no might, that we are desperately losing lives. And not only, Lord, this sickness, for there are many other sicknesses that have taken even more lives in this year already. But that seems to bypass our attention. But thou art sure getting our attention now by this alarming threat that threatens all of us as inhabitants of the world. Lord, thou art God, and we are but vain men. We are absolutely powerless when thou raisest thy hand in judgment. Thou hast spoken in the book of Revelation that thou would bring down Babylon in one day. And Lord, we're witnessing that today. As thou art in a short time crushing and demolishing what has given us so much false security. And Lord, we acknowledge that thou art righteous, that thou art holy in what thou art doing. Thy wrath we deserve, and thy softening and thy restraining, even in the midst of these judgments, we do not deserve. Lord, thou art justified in crippling every aspect of our life, of our industry, of our economy. Thou art justified if thou would empty all our cupboards and deplete our reserves. Lord, thou art justified when thou would fulfill in our days what thou did in the days of Joel, when he said that the land was as the Garden of Eden before, and it was left behind as a wilderness, devoured by the locust. And therefore, Lord, as we are here together, will thou also fill and penetrate our minds with the truth that we deserve worse than what we're seeing today. We have provoked thee in unbelievable ways. And not just once in a while, but continually, against the light of the truth, against the revelation of the law, against, Lord, thy gracious and merciful patience and abundant loving kindnesses poured out upon us. And not only have we made void thy law and cast aside in our nation everything that seems to hinder us from pursuing our own lifestyles as we like it, but Lord, we have also made void thy gospel. We have abused the message of thy love and forgiveness to live in slothful and carnal manners, falsely resting on good tidings that we have also in this nation. And let us only look at ourselves tonight, Lord, maybe completely appropriated to ourselves falsely, only to comfort our own selves in a lifestyle that is religious but not godly. Almighty Lord, we call upon thee tonight, especially we whom thou hast called by thy name, we who make mention of thy name. We have been chief as Christians, so called, in the world in which we live. And we pray that thou would move our hearts to be men and women and boys and girls who weep, really weep sorely out of a true sense of sin that we have committed idolatry, that we, O God, are transgressors. From the womb, we plead with Thee, Lord Almighty, if Thou would open our eyes to show us the sins that we see not, that Thou, O God, would not allow us again to recover as the Philistines did, as they put their Dagons back on their feet and continue their lifestyle as if nothing happened. Prevent that from happening in our nation and in our world. Prevent us, Lord, from becoming hardened and from being unrepentant and only are putting our efforts together to continue our mad dash through this life for the vanities and the pleasures that at this moment Thou hast halted radically. O Lord, we pray that Thy prophetic voice may be heard throughout this land, as tonight there are indeed hundreds of church services in this country, as other churches have set aside this night as a time of prayer and humiliation. And so have we tried to, at least. And we pray, O gracious God, that Thou would unite our hearts in true prayer, true compassion, through humiliation, that we may be ashamed and lament from out of our hearts, broken and humbled. O Almighty Spirit, we beg Thee to blow through these trials upon our hearts and to bring us all in the right frame of mind. Thou knowest that our hearts are sometimes so cold, even now, and so self-sufficient, and so formal. Lord, we pray that Thou would awaken all in our leadership, also in deepening conviction of what was said at Pharaoh's court. This is the finger of God. And yet, Lord, that did not lead to repentance in Pharaoh's court. And may that not be the case today. May it indeed bring also our leaders into a different mindset, that they may give glory to Thee and acknowledge, O God, also publicly in their daily speeches to the nation. Please, Lord, touch their hearts and touch their tongues. And though they are to encourage us and show leadership, may they do so with humbled hearts and humility and a sense of acknowledging that we deserve this, though, O God, we may seek and hope for Thy mercy. And so please touch our nation's conscience. Lord, let this judgment bite deeply into our conscience. For that alone might bring us to seek and to search for Thee. And so come among us tonight, Lord. Open our ears for what Thou art saying to us in the psalm that we have read. And let all Thy servants be as true prophets, not only to speak, but first to listen. And so bless our time, here or at home, O gracious God. We plead with Thee in that only name in which Thou art well pleased, Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And for His sake, will Thou graciously answer our prayer. Amen. Psalter 423. We'll sing that next, and let's do the first two verses and the fourth verse. 1, 2, and 4. It begins with, Jehovah reigns as King. To Him all homage bring. And that is not only us, but the islands, the earth, and the oceans. And then it continues in verse 2, speaking about his judgments, and verse 4, another call to worship him. So let's sing 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 423. Your congregation and families and friends, those of you who are familiar with your Psalter book or your Psalms, undoubtedly when you walk in a starry sky at night, you might want to read Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, when I behold the work of thy fingers. And maybe when you witness the beautiful sunset or sunrise in the morning or evening, you might take out Psalm 19, the heavens declare thy glory. But as you face a thunderstorm, or have the flash floods coming along with that, you might take out Psalm 29. Indeed, that psalm, as David wrote it, might have been occasioned by him witnessing one of these majestic thunderstorms coming across the Mediterranean Sea, hitting the sea coast of Israel, and particularly up north in Lebanon. And these majestic thunderstorms indeed came with incredible rains, causing floods and scouring of the landscape, as well known in those areas of the world even today. And yet, if you look closely at the Psalm 29, David is not describing an ordinary thunderstorm, nor even a majestic thunderstorm. He's describing, in reminiscence, about the flood, the worldwide flood. And what gives us an indication that that might be indeed the correct interpretation is verse 10. Let me direct your attention to verse 10. It says, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood." The word flood there is the Hebrew word mabul. And that's only found one place in the entire Bible, besides verse 29, Psalm 29. That's found in Genesis 6 through 9. All other words of floods in the rest of the Old Testament are a different one than this one. So here he's thinking of the great worldwide flood. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. And indeed, this worldwide flood was accompanied with incredible displays of thunderstorms and rain and floods and the moving of the earth. And if you look at the psalm now from that perspective, you can see that it really does describe a worldwide flood destruction. The voice of the Lord, he says in verse 4, is powerful. In the verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God is thundering upon many waters, on flood waters that are everywhere. And it is full of majesty. And notice what happens to the strong cedar trees on Lebanon. They're breaking like matches. They have no power to stand against this display of God's power. He breaketh the cedars of Lebanon, massive trees. And he maketh them, he says in verse 6, to skip like a calf, and the whole mountain is shaking like a young unicorn horse. And indeed, the earthquake activity and all the volcanic activity that took place in the flood time are amply described in this verse. Yeah, flames of fire, again a reference to the lightning, is dividing, is shattering, is scattering everything. God shakes the wilderness. And every refuge proved to be in vain, swept away by this enormous judgment of God's thundering voice that filled the earth. It brought great fear on animals. You notice that in verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. They gave birth much too quick, but it's fear that impelled these poor animals. It discovereth the forest, and literally that means it stripped the forest. It made the forest laid bare. All the branches and everything is taken off. The whole landscape is scoured. And then the poet concludes in verse 9, in his temple, as we gather in his sanctuary, does everyone speak of his glory? And what is that glory? He shows us the Lord who sits upon the flood, on a throne. Yes, the Lord sitteth king forever. And he will give strength unto his people, and he will bless his people with peace. So, having just walked briefly through the psalm, now seen in that light, then this psalm is not just only historical. It's not only experiential. It is prophetic. It is a prophetic call. As you notice the first verse, it says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." God is calling us to give glory to Him. In verse 2 again, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and worship this Lord in the beauty of holiness. Isn't what we see today in this coronavirus something similar to a worldwide flood? Worldwide flood. Never in the history of the world has the world been so unitedly called to a halt by a phenomena of a sickness that through our generous traveling, of course, has now just vastly outpaced our resources. And isn't that kind of like a worldwide flood? God is sweeping away in a matter of weeks all our security, all our prosperity, all our economic muscle, all our military might has absolutely no power to do anything about this. It is an amazing event that is shaking our world today. Just as I would imagine dikes and dams and sandbags and going up on the mountain did nothing to escape the rising waters of the worldwide flood. For we can imagine that those inhabitants of the world did everything to try to secure themselves from the ever-increasing waters of the flood. Long has God whispered to us in His mercies. Long has God loaded us with His blessings. As we sing in one of our psalms, He comes to steep our lives with bounties freely given, day upon day, decade upon decade. We have prospered. We have been prospering and at large. For years, God has been gently and alluringly calling us, oh, my call is to you, ye sons of men. Hear me. Return to me. For years He has rained gently and blown sweetly with mercies and mercies. And God indeed could rightly say to us all as a nation tonight, and He is saying that to us tonight. In Romans chapter 2, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and does the same, that thou wilt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Have we seen that? Has this goodness of God leading us to repentance? No, we haven't. As a nation, we are going farther and farther from Him, more and more bold, more and more daring, erasing all the boundaries that God has put up and redefining every institution He has made. So why are we surprised about coronavirus 19? Why? Are we surprised? Hasn't God been long dishonored? Hasn't His name been unbelievably blasphemed? Hasn't His word and His cause been slandered? I mean, let's be honest. We all think like Nebuchadnezzar was walking around in his Babylon. This is the great Babylon I have built. And our president has been leading us. I will make America great again. And you and I have been liking it. We have been liking it. Even though nothing will make this nation great but righteousness, godliness, returning to God. Not economic prosperity, not a booming stock market, not an economy that's just making us increase our margins of comfort. That's not making any country great. Hasn't our majestic Creator and our unbelievably benevolent Provider been patient and long-suffering? hasn't he made it abundantly clear to you and me, I have no desire in your death. I seek your conversion. I seek it in gentle ways. I seek it in seeking to melt your resistance with coals of fire. Coals of fire, congregation, are tokens of goodness, tokens of love. When you overcome evil with good, God has been doing that. It's not worked. And now he needs to take out a severer method. We are a culture which is obsessed with the right to kill helpless creatures made in his own image. Perhaps you've seen it, I've seen it several times. The numbers of the coronavirus victims on the one side of your screen and the number of abortions that are taking place in this year alone already on the other side of the screen. And it is an absolute stunning contrast. And where are we fighting? And where are we raising alarm for that? We are a culture obsessed with the right to kill. Obsessed with making death and Satan a joke. Halloween, movies, entertainment. We are a country obsessed with pornography and the abuse of what God has created as beautiful and pure. Every commandment is flaunted. And now what are we saying? We're going to win this war. We are going to prevail. We are going to marshal forth the powers of our country. And we are going to win this war. Congregation, when I hear a president say this, I am trembling to think what else God needs to do to get our chief leader on his knees and not speak like that. Let's pray for him, that he may have a God encounter in the White House that will help him to speak and use his so chief office, not only to this nation, but to all of the world, as a prophet. It's obvious when we look around and we even gauge the general attitude. I'm going to say it careful, but the waters have to rise higher yet. Just like in the time of the flood, perhaps few shrugged. Oh, that rain will, that's lasting a little longer indeed than whatever this is. We've never seen this before. It never rained on the earth, but that will be over tomorrow. We're setting our dates already when we are going back to normal life. And there is no heeding of the voice of the Lord. So, what's the call of God to his people in this psalm? To his people, yes. Let's first listen to that. The call of God in this psalm, first of all, is a call to repentance. Read the first and the second verse. And lay your heart next to that and say to yourself, is this what I am doing? Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, though verse 1 and 2 is addressed to the great men, the mighty. O ye mighty. Commentators have struggled to perhaps give that a name, but I agree with most of them that here it is addressed to those who are leaders, the mighty. The one who are in a position of leadership are exhorted to give glory unto God and to acknowledge his strength. Let's pray for that, that our national leaders will use this opportunity to turn attention away from ourselves and from our resources and our abilities and begin to give glory to God, saying, Lord, we can't handle this without thee. Our resources are going to fall flat and fail. Let's pray for that. And we see in this psalm that God is toppling Lebanon's cedar trees. He is toppling what we would in our country call the redwood trees, like little matchsticks. That's what's happening. We are having our cedar trees, our technology, our manufacturing muscle, our economic power, our everything is just breaking. Breaking like he broke the cedar trees on Lebanon. They're no match for God's thunders. We're no match for these floods. We're no match for when God begins to show his voice upon this earth. So God's church needs to repent. For the mighty ones, let's not just limit it only to those who are in authority over us. Saints of God, you are addressed. You who have been called by God's grace. You are a mighty one. Not in yourself, but in the grace of God, you've been lifted out. In a position, what position? You are the light of the world, he says. You're the mighty ones. You're close to God's heart. You have an access to the throne room through faith in Jesus Christ. You are the mighty ones. And God says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones, give unto the Lord the glory and strength. Children of God, do we live? And do we give utterance to God's glory? Are we speaking about him? Are we calling attention to his attributes, wherever we can, wherever we are? Are we commending the work of his hands? Are we exalting his holy laws? Are we extolling his person? Are we speaking and giving God glory that is due to his name and are worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness? Beauty of holiness, what is that? God's holiness is his devotional, glorious love. Pure. Oh, intensely. The beauty of his holiness. And here God's children are said, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Live in the love he lives. Even to your enemies. Even though that dislike you. Even to those that are annoying. Is he not loving? Is he not forbearing? Is he not patient? Is he not loving, is he not long-suffering? And worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness is an imitation of God as we live. Come, are we not too often too silent about God's glory? And let's be honest, children of God, are we not too much riveted to the pleasures and the comforts and the vanities of this earth? We're sending a very confusing message to the world around us if you are one of God's children. Very confusing. We get bent out of shape with a little financial loss. We get bent out of shape with a setback. We desperately fight to hold on to a little bit of our cursed dust. And that's a confusing message. When the world observes that life, they say, what are they different than mine life? That's not God glorifying. So God is calling us to repentance. Children of God, begins with us. Begins with you and me. If we want to see this world converted, we're going to have to see God's children converted again. And to return to the ways of God. Now the second thing that God is speaking in this psalm, he's speaking to calm his people to calmness. Like verse 9 and 9 to 11 again. In his temple does everyone speak of his glory. That's what I've been trying to do for a moment. But now look at verse 10. It's a message of comfort. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Where is God in this pandemic? Where is God in these sweeping uncertainties that we face today? Well, He's in the same place where He's always been. He's on the throne. He sits above these floods as a king forever. He's in control. These things are happening because God is ruling the earth. This virus, wherever it came from, it didn't just come from a wet meat market in China. It came from the Lord of heaven. He allowed it. He sent it. And He is in control. We don't live in a world where things happen because God doesn't want to happen. We live in a world where everything happens because God is in control. Let's hold on to that. This is comforting. The Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And children of God, keep your eyes on this. And keep your eyes on the parting truth of the one who controls the world. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. We must now also let the world see that we are truly believing in what we are holding in our creed. That He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We say it every Sunday. We confess it every Sunday. Oh, let the words of a heathen queen tonight exhort our hearts to hold on to this beautiful truth of Psalm 29. And this heathen queen I'm talking about is the Queen of Sheba. Listen to what she said to the people of Solomon. He says, blessed be the Lord thy God. She says it to Solomon. But think about how that is to be said about Christ, the greater Solomon. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore has He made thee king to do judgment and justice. The queen saw it. Solomon is a blessing. God delighted in Israel to give Solomon the wisdom to govern and to judge. Oh, we have a much greater than Solomon. Jesus is on the throne. And blessed be God that He has placed Jesus Christ on this throne to do judgment and justice on the earth. And therefore, beloved, if you are in Christ, you will be blessed with peace in the midst of this uncertainty. The Lord will give strength unto His people, He says. Verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Pray that God may exercise you and me in the faith of the Apostle Paul as we face the Corona 19 virus. And what was Paul? I am persuaded. Of what? That neither death nor life, nor the things present, nor the things to come next month, nor any creature, a virus, can separate us or shall be able to separate us of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray that God may now strengthen your faith. You say, well, how do I know if I am in Christ? How do I know that? That I'm a real Christian? Well, let me at least answer that real brief. You know you are in Christ when your mind and your heart and your will and your whole person is overpowered by the sweet power and the powerful sweetness of the life and spirit of Jesus Christ. And if that is the case, as fruit of that spiritual resurrection that God works in His people, you will yield yourself with soul and body to this King, Jesus Christ. That's how you know whether you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, and your life begins to more and more depend and revolve around one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Note well what I say. It doesn't begin to revolve around a church. It doesn't begin to revolve about your religious habits or about your do's and your don'ts and your frames and your feelings. Though none of those are unimportant. When you are in Christ, Christ becomes the center, the focal point, the desire of your heart. It's like the old hymn says, nothing but Him. For everything else beside Him is but sinking sand. Are you and I in Christ? Let's examine that ourselves. Let's examine that. And let this whole judgment indeed shake us into more self-examination. Are we truly in Christ? And maybe you conclude, so what if I am not a genuine Christian? What if I am not a saved sinner? What if I am not in Christ at this moment? Well, my friend, then you are as vulnerable as the mighty cedars in Lebanon. Then you are as vulnerable and unstable as the house built on the sand when it faces the storms of God's providences. Then you are as unprotected as that deer that lived in this bare forest and was troubled with fear. Indeed, if you are unsaved, if you are not in Christ, if you are not indeed in a saving relationship with the Lord, you got every reason to be fearful. For when the glory of God's voice speaks, all the mighty things of the world absolutely no value. Oh, awake then, my friend. How dreadful it is to be Christless in the day of God's judgment. How dreadful, beloved. I cannot get that thought out of my mind this afternoon as I was preparing. How dreadful it is to be without Christ in the day that God rises in His final judgment. And whenever that day is for you or for me, it's known to Him. Nothing is smoother than the ocean when it lays there as a placid lake of beauty. But nothing is more violent when God stirs up the waters of an ocean. And therefore, nothing is so sweet as the patience, the long suffering, the goodness, the benevolence of a God who seeks to protect us, draw us, lead us. But nothing is so raw and so terrible as when the wrath of God stirred up and poured out. Bear in mind, as someone wrote so well to me this week, you may accept coronavirus 19. You may. But dream not to escape God's final judgment. That no one will escape. Bear in mind, that you may not be infected by the coronavirus 19 at this moment, but you are infected by a virus that is 100% killing. and it is also 100% infecting us. And that virus is called sin. And your and my Creator have been speaking about that virus, warning us about that virus. He's told us there's a place where you can be cured and secured of that virus sin. Therefore, I can close with good news. The reason I stand here is as Noah was still preaching with the door of the ark open. The door of God's New Testament ark is still open, my friend. There is still room tonight for you in Jesus Christ. He's still receiving sinners. He is still welcoming the greatest sinner that turns to Him in these times even. A dying thief was admitted the moment he turned to the door, Jesus Christ, with a prayer, "Oh, remember me." I hear just in this position. Thou unjust, but oh, remember me when thou hast come into thy kingdom. Ungodly Manasseh, let me read you what it says. He prayed unto Jehovah, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication, and Jehovah brought him again to Jerusalem and his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that Jehovah, he was God alone. Give unto the Lord, O you sinner. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Let's sing together first. Psalter 274. A prayer to God. We'll sing all four verses. Before my journey is complete, my vigor falls, my years decline. My God, oh spare me. I entreat, the days of life are wholly thine. So 274, all four verses. Let us conclude with prayer, our service, and seek the Lord once again. Almighty God, Thou hast spoken, and Thou art speaking. We've heard Thy call, even tonight, to give glory to Thee. Thou art so worthy to receive it. For even now in wrath, Thou art remembering mercy. For Lord, we can still have a moment to gather as a congregation, to come before Thee in prayer. How many millions are hindered, Lord, to come together in these circumstances or in circumstances of persecution. Thou art good. We give Thee glory, O God, as the righteous God, as deserved as the worldwide flood, so deserved is this worldwide pandemic. We are like them. We eat and drink. We marry. We have families. We work. And we come to church too yet. But most of all, Lord, our lives are very, very earthly minded. And we pray therefore this evening that Thou would make our confession and our neighbor's confession and our nation's confession to be, we have sinned against Thee, O God, and therefore we deserve this confusing and this threatening time. Lord, move the hearts of young and old. Move the hearts of our girls and boys, our women, our men, our subjects, our rulers, to give the glory to Thee and to confess Thee, not just with words, but with the life and heart. O Almighty, that's Thy work. That is Thy power we need. That is the glory of Thy salvation we need. We pray that Thou would break up the hardened soil of our hearts as Thou art drying up the shady gourds under which we found some comfort, Lord, but not a comfort that will last beyond life. And it isn't even lasting in life. Let none of us who are healthy dream that we might stay healthy. We have no security for that. Instead, Lord, teach us to number our days daily, to consider that Thou art again giving us a day of grace, that if it is not well with our soul, that Thou wilt, O God, in mercy, save us. Open our eyes for that truth that Thou shared with us tonight, that we are infected by a virus that is 100% killing. So deadly, it has mowed generation upon generation away before us. Lord, we plead that Thou would lead multitudes of fellow sinners, including ourselves, to flee from the wrath, that Thou would enable sinners to hide themselves in Christ Thee. Thou art a hiding place, O Lord Jesus, for poor and unworthy and guilty sinners. Gracious God and Father, our hope is in Thee. It is Thy work to gather sinners and to bring them unto Christ. It is Thy work to open their hearts for the vanity of all religion and of all wealth and of all positions. It is Thy work, O Father, to teach such that they may come to Jesus Christ and be saved through Him and in Him. And we plead with Thee to send forth Thy light and Thy truth. Begin on every pulpit. Begin in the church pews, Lord, of this nation. Begin in our homes. And, O God, widen this work indeed into our communities. Gracious God, we confess the sins that so often are sounded forth even through the mouth of our leaders. Thou reads their heart, we can only read their lips. Only we lament, Lord, that spirit of self-sufficiency that speaks so loudly, we shall win. Yes, we thank Thee for these decisive leaders, for their incredible hard work, for their sacrifice of time. We thank Thee, O God, for the enormous dedication of the healthcare professionals. And we beg Thee indeed to spare their lives as they are caring for the sick and dying, exposing themselves also from our midst, Lord, Erica and Esther and Bethany perhaps also. And we pray for family members and loved ones, O God, that are daily on these front lines, heroically sacrificing themselves as they do this work. And, O gracious Lord, we thank Thee for that. But wean us away from the spirit of independence, the spirit of we will win this. Sweep our nation into a consciousness that without Thee we go nowhere. We will not be able to provide and to face today and tomorrow and the eternity beyond. Lord, we lift up those that are dying, not only of the coronavirus, but of all the multiple sicknesses in this world. We lift them all up to Thee, O God, that those who are dying without genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that Thou would mercifully work Thy saving grace in their hearts, even in the final hours of their life, as Thou did with the thief on the cross. Oh, so, Lord, ordain Thou Thy praises even from dying beds. And let those testimonies also of Thy children that are to face death through this, that their mouths may be opened and their hearts may sing, and they may testify of Thy riches, and they may die in peace, as Thou promised tonight. As we read the psalm, that Thou would keep Thy people in peace. And Lord, we pray that Thou help nurses and doctors when they are now only allowed to minister to the dying. We as pastors, we're not even allowed to be with them. And, O gracious God, and touch the mouth of nurses and doctors that they may also share words of truth, words of comfort, or words of warning. Bless them. Remember especially our vulnerable and our elderly, Lord, who are not ready, who may feel anxious in their heart. Let that anxiety grow. Let it be so consuming, O God, that it indeed would bring them on their knees tonight even, that they may seek Thee while Thou art still near. Lord, let saving grace be seen. And Thou art indeed not bound even to human means. Thou can speak through the memories of former sermons of 10, 20, 30 years ago. O God, let that seed that was sown and perhaps lays half forgotten or for a long time ignored and despised, let that word speak, O God, in these elderly and as well the younger ones and any one of us. We plead, O God, remember Thou our leaders at every level of government and business and community. Bestow upon them the wisdom to lead, the grace, the humility. Help them to work together, give him the courage to speak up, even if not politically advantageous or what they call correct. And we thank thee for every voice in authority that has spoken truth and has caused us to face the real cause of this trial. Lord, we pray for the poor. It appears indeed, as so often, that it's those who have limited means are hit the hardest again, also in this country. Lord, we may ourselves face poverty. We may ourselves face hunger for the first time. Please stir up our hearts to share and to shoulder the burdens of our fellow men, and to stand together, and to take the lead, especially, Lord, for thy people in this ministry. Open our eyes for it, and please help us to open our hearts for them, even for enemies when they hunger, or are sick, or are dying. We pray that there will be a wall of fire around our vulnerable, Lord, and in a special way we may pray for Juniper tonight. She is still so vulnerable, and thou hast been so good to keep her and her family as they've gone through sicknesses, and plead with thee, may please thee, to continue to maintain her health as well as the rest of the family. We pray for Logan, also so vulnerable, Lord, in his weak condition. We pray for other children that may in similar weakness. We lift up Henry Frantz. Thou knows the concerns of the pneumonia. Bless the medication. Let it indeed, O God, be that he also may feel together with his wife the seriousness of the callings thou hast lately been laying upon them. Be it our elderly isolated at homes or nursing homes that cannot have their families to visit, please remember them. And so, gracious God, as we conclude this prayer, with all our shortcomings, with all our guilt staring in our face, oh, lift up our eyes that we may see Jesus, that in him there is with thee forgiveness. Oh, may thy name be hallowed, Almighty God and Father, and let thy kingdom come, thy will be done. To thee be all the glory and the honor and the praise. Hear us. In Jesus' name alone. Amen. Our concluding psalter for tonight, let us take 228. And it speaks about the true blessedness. That is only if we are in Christ, under the protection of the Lord God of hosts, who will be a sun and shield forever to those who walk uprightly. He will no good deny. Let's not fill that in, what that good will mean. That can be totally different than what we think. But let us rely on his promises. And may indeed those who do not have that faith make this a prayer indeed. Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication here. And what follows in verses 1, 2, and 3. Oh no, let's do only 1 and 3 of 228. Receive now the blessing of the Lord God and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.